And the more I see the end time approaching and encroaching upon our lives, the more I appreciate the Word of God. The reason I say that is because there's so many people that go by what? Circumstances. They go by circumstances. Something can happen. A breeze can blow. And they say, well, I know what I'm going to do now is the will of God because the breeze blew. People set their scopes on ministries because of silliness, silly things that happen. I'd rather go according to the Word of God. It's truer. It's more sure. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say? Amen? Someone said, I made a wrong turn and I turned left instead of right. So I knew it wasn't the will of God to be in church that night. It's a fact that people live for God according to little incidences that take place because they have no knowledge of the Word of God. See, the Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So that means regardless of if you took a wrong turn or a right turn, get yourself to the house of God as quick as you can. And so we cannot go according to little feelings that we have and little things that we think. We need the Word of God. And my sincere prayer of late is that all of us fall in love with the Word of God. I noticed the bread chart is full of names. And so let's continue to read our Bibles through this year. Many of you read your Bibles through last year along with Pastor and his wife. And many of you are doing it again this year with Pastor and his wife. You cannot read the Bible too much. Somebody said, you're fanatics. And if you're not being accused of being a fanatic for Jesus, then something's wrong. You know what a fanatic is? A fan of something. I'm a Jesus fan. And if that makes me a fanatic, so be it. John chapter number 15, verse number 1 through verse number 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you accept ye abide in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Somebody say much fruit. For without me you can do what? All right. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We know he's talking about hell here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Reason being is because he knows that you're going to ask for spiritual things. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And then, Brother Bennett, verse number 16, if you will, please. Verse number 16. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you. That's why the Bible says, no man cometh to the Lord except the Spirit draws him. And so you have been chosen, that's why you're here tonight. We need to take advantage of that. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. We're going to talk about that a little while here tonight. The fruit of the Spirit. We briefly touched it. Amen. We need the fruits of the Spirit, and we need the gifts of the Spirit. And without the gifts of the Spirit, we don't have the fruit. Without the fruit, we cannot have the gifts. Because we know that they work simultaneously. We know they work together. We know that if we produce bad fruit, that we can't have a good spirit. We know that if we have a bad spirit, we cannot produce good fruit. Right? Amen. And so, you got patience for another scripture? Let's look in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 22 and verse 23. It is Bible study. Amen. Galatians 5, verse 22 and verse number 23. Hallelujah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Meaning that we can have as much as we want. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like that too. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. I like that. Brother Bennett, his batteries are charged. He's a 2-mile man in a 1-mile world. Holy Ghost, we come before you tonight with this Bible study. We lay it upon the altar and we pray you cover it with your blood. Touch it with your anointing. Let your spirit prevail upon it, Master. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Landmark, will you help us pray over the crusade in the Philippines? Listen, this is how this thing happened. Brother Guy called. And I thought he was asking for an offering. I said, Brother Guy, I said, Landmark would be more than happy to help you with an offering to go to the Philippines. He said, I don't want your offering. He said, I want you. I said, whoa. And so it began to unfold. This morning he called. He said, I need to contact a couple of the men in your church. He said, give me their numbers. I said, okay. He said, you are the apostle. And now we're going to be ministering to over 8,000 people at a time. And we want to orchestrate that in a way that we can walk in the Holy Ghost. And so the plate is pushed aside. Time is allotted for prayer. And much given to be sensitive to the Spirit. But I need your backup. I really need your backup in this. My wife needs your backup. And so I know you'll be with us, and we'll be bringing back pictures and DVDs and things of that nature. And so when we get home, I want to take you to the Philippines. Pray for God's success. God bless you. You may be seated. Fruit bearing, and I may not get above just talking to you tonight, but please pay close attention. In our youth congress meeting in Winston-Salem, I don't know how many young people were mightily touched, but I know our young people were mightily moved on by God. And I know that had to be an answer of prayer for Brother and Sister Scarborough. And many parents, as well as pastor and his wife. Some of the things that we've heard that have come out of that. Our young people may be sitting here tonight thinking that this is an adult Bible study. But I want to say that to God that I could have sat and listened to this when I was 12 years old. To God that I could have sat and listened to this when I was 13 years old. Between the age of 12 and 17, almost 18 years old, when I found God, boy, a lot of water went under the bridge. And a lot of innocence was lost. I saw a lot of things and experienced a lot of things that I should never have ever experienced. And if we could develop a desire in the heartbeat and the souls of our young people to develop fruit that is worthy of Jesus Christ, you will avoid a lot of this heartache and this pain and even shame. And so fruit bearing is not just for adults in living for God. It is also for young people. I want us to be fruit bearing Christians. I don't want us on spiritual welfare. I do not want us on spiritual welfare. If you're here tonight, you're on welfare. I'm not talking about our governmental system. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about spiritual welfare. I say that because I can. And the reason I can is because my God is no respecter of persons. And what He's done for me, He will gladly do for you. And if He has blessed me, He will gladly bless you. And so we don't need a spiritual welfare mentality in the church. Amen. No one needs to sit back, shut up, sit down, be quiet, and just let the tide roll on. Because God has shown you in the Scripture tonight, He cannot bless that. He cannot anoint that. He cannot minister through that. And so fruit bearing is one of the greatest doctrines of the Bible, deserving in-depth Bible study on occasion. Every Christian should strive to obtain and maintain the fruit of the Spirit in their life. It should be your main goal. This is one of the most important achievements that we could achieve in life. Our pursuit of holiness is contingent upon the fruit of the Spirit existing in our lives. There is no holiness without the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit-bearing eliminates problems in our lives and creates climate for healthy relationships in the home, in the church, and among our peers. In my opinion, bearing the fruit of the Spirit is one of the most important teachings of the Word of Almighty God. Although the fruit of the Spirit can be attained, It is not a one-time accomplishment that brings us a lifetime lease on the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are a hard-won, continual battle that must be waged in order to maintain the fruit. It's one thing to have it one time, but it's another thing to maintain it. Right? God has made the fruits of the Spirit available and very attainable and very accessible through the power of the Holy Ghost. Allowing the Spirit to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives is our responsibility and it is our challenge. Within ourselves, it is virtually impossible to obtain the fruits of the Spirit. But with the help of the Holy Ghost, with the help of the Spirit of God, and allowing the Holy Ghost to produce the fruits of the Spirit, we can attain it. Allowing God's Word to guide us, instruct us, is essential at this particular point. Now, in studying this today and digging all of this out, I went to the pulpit commentary in Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, all in one book. This is Hendrickson. You ought to get you some. And you can dig deep. If you're like me, Roman numerals make you mad. Getting high numbers, I can't hardly find anything in here. But I find it. And I want to read what some of these commentators have said on the subject of the fruits of the Spirit. Would you hear me? Number one, some gifts necessary for position of authority. You're going to obtain fruits of the Spirit to the point that you will become an authority in an area, whatever area that may be. The man of gifts as apostle or as a ruler can only use his gifts in offices of authority. So now, a man may have the gift of organizing or of managing men, or the gift of mastership and the gift of business. Then such men, we must all be willing to set in the high places, be willing to give them position of higher honor or higher places. And then they said in number two, other gifts as truly necessitate positions of dependence. They are gifts of dependence and service. In other words, other men or women may obtain, or young people may obtain, gifts that people have to depend on you. Then if you let them down and they cannot depend on you, then your gifts are rotting. Your fruits are not producing. And something is wrong. The tree is barren. If you feel the pressure to for people to be able to depend on you, that is a bud coming out of the tree that God is trying to bloom into a full-fledged fruit. And you don't say, well, I can't take the pressure. I can't do that. That's too much. No, it's not. If God is allowing it to happen to you, then you have the capability of allowing it to mature. Amen. And so they are gifts of dependence and service. They can only be put to use in lowly places. Now, this is going to grab some of you. I want you to hear this. This can only happen in lowly places. For in order for there to be balance, reunion, togetherness, and equality and health for the church, there has to be the high places and there has to be the low places. Those having them can only be faithful in what men may call lesser places. You notice they said what men may call lesser places. You know the Word of God says that the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And so it may be Sister Brigman marches into the pearly gates first and turns back and says, come on, y'all. Because we, as men, look at it, we can say, she only cleans the church. But I have never looked at it that way. We look at it at this way. If that's my talent, that's what I do. And that's what I do with all of my heart, my soul, and my strength. Ambition in men is limited by their gifts. A right ambition leads a man to press for the position in which he can use his gift. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, a right ambition. Now say, the ambition that is right. Now listen to what they said. A wrong ambition sets a man upon seeking offices and positions for which he has no gifts. It is a setup from hell to make a man, woman, or a young person desire and have ambitions for gifts that God never has intention on giving. I'm just going to tell you, it makes me nervous. Somebody's fishing in a boat and they say something like, Lord, if I catch 3 fish today, I know you called me to preach. Don't do that. I know it's humorous, but I'm telling you, it happens every day. Do not do that. Because the enemy is setting you up for failure. when there is something in man's eyes that may be lesser, that you are going to absolutely soar at. And if you're not man enough to do the little things, then you're not certainly man enough to do the big things. I'm just saying, let God be God. And we are not going to have ambitions to do something because someone else has that ambition. If your calling is only a calling because someone else that you're jealous of has it, then you don't have a calling. If your calling is a calling that someone else has and you're envious of it, then you do not have a calling. Or you may have a calling and you're not seeking the right one. Number three, every man in the church of Christ should have his office by virtue of his gifts. And not of his claims and not of his ambitions. The true idea of selection for office is the discovery of the men among us with the gifts related to the office. The injury, the hurt, and the pain to the church comes by the pressing of men into office upon their other than this ground. Pushing, prying. God provides the fitted ones. We too often fail to wait on Him for the right men and foolishly fill the church. This lies on the pastor's shoulders. Sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes we get in a hurry, and then sometimes we get ahead of God. Hallelujah. What is this, and they're asking, what is the sphere in which I may find exercise for these gifts? The most honorable place that any man can occupy is that which precisely fits his gift. I like David put it this way. He said, I know I'm a king. I know I'm a prophet. I know I'm all of this that I'm supposed to be because God ordained me. But I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Do you know what David was saying? David was saying, it doesn't matter. And if we could ever get everyone in one mind and one accord to feel that same way, what a revival is going to rip through this county. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, wherefore, by their fruits, the Bible says, shall ye know them in Matthew 7:20. Jesus, in this context, has given us a foolproof method of identifying false prophets. What a person is far more important than what he says or even preaches. Good fruits, without question, indicate a good tree. And then the Bible says, ye shall know them by the fruit that they bear. Not by the words they say, but by the fruit that they bear. Amen. And so we are responsible as a church to create an atmosphere of peace for righteousness to prevail. And we go out of our way. Hear me, leadership. We must go out of our way to create peace so the Holy Ghost can move in this atmosphere. Isaiah gives us some interesting facts concerning righteousness that deserve consideration. He said in Isaiah 32, righteousness remains in the fruitful field. It remains. It means it continues. Number two, the work of righteousness is peace. That's righteousness. And then number three, the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. It's not your big voice opinion. It's your quietness. Amen. Some people, and many people, perceive wisdom when people are silent. Others are going off and cackling and going off and saying and doing, and then they come upon someone that's just real silent. And they step off and they say, that person's thinking deep. That person's wise. Amen. Signs, wonders, miracles, growth, healing, reproduction, all of this come from the fruits of the Spirit. If we're not seeing those, we need to go talk to the man in the mirror. Amen. Let's look at the fruits of the Spirit and I'll be done. The fruits of the Spirit, love. Now, we're not just talking about love. We're talking about what is a spiritual love. It's called agape. It's agape love. And it's a divine love. It's a strong, ardent, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of someone. Amen. It's a hold your peace kind of love. Amen. And God's benevolent concern for mankind, man's devout attachment to God, is this fruit of love. Amen. The feeling that God is the most important thing in my life. Love is a vast biblical subject needing study and application in many ways, in all of our lives in a lot of ways. God's love is shed abroad in all of our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5. And become so ardent and ingrained in us until nothing can separate us from the love of God. Remember, Paul said that in chapter 8. Paul's treatise on love is the finest ever produced. Read it, remember it, apply it in your life. God is love, and when we have the Spirit of God in our lives, one of the automatic products of the Spirit is love. Amen. A man called me. I wanted to give him an offering and help him go to the Philippines. And I wind up being the boss. I didn't ask for that. I preferred my brother. That's the only kind of example I can give you. I know myself more than anybody else. And that's what preferring your brother. Just continue on. Do it through the years. Do it through the months without an agenda. I'm going to prefer my brother. Pastor's going to see that, and boy, he's going to lift me up. Don't do it that way. Do it. Prefer your brother because you really, really want to prefer your brother. Love your sister because you really, truly love your sister. And watch what God eventually does in your life. Amen. Joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit. The emotional excitement and gladness and delight over blessings received or expected for self and others. Do we get joy when others are blessed? A very glad feeling, happiness, pleasure, or delight. The cause of joy or happiness, the expression of this feeling. That's Webster. We live in such a lackluster world when it comes to abiding joy, but as Christians, joy should be emanating from our lives. Sorrow, problems, trouble come to every life. Every life. Somebody say everybody. Somebody say everybody. Yet the saved should know the deep joy that sustains even in their darkest hour. There's got to be joy. Because joy doesn't come with a thermostat. Joy doesn't come with a season. Joy doesn't come with an age. Joy comes from Jesus. And Jesus always is. Amen. I'm looking for Betsy Smith. Is she here tonight? Well, I wish she was. Because I am getting ready to pick on her. She chose not to be here, so don't tell her. Betsy Smith can respond to situations in most unusual ways. I watched her one time when she wrecked her car a little bit. This was years ago. Kenneth was still alive, her husband was there, and she did a little fender bender. I mean, it was not a head-on collision. She didn't total the car. It's just a little, and she came onto church, and she fell out on the carpet, and she was banging her feet on the carpet, tears squirting out. Kenny's gonna kill me. Kenny's gonna kill me. Kenny's gonna kill me. And that's Betsy. And she has a right to be that way because that's who she is. But we don't need anybody to emulate that. You find your fruit. That's hers. That's all we need is just one. Anyway, she just went spastic. Kenny never done anything. I don't even think he got mad. It's just what she thought, you know. And I'm just using her for an example. And I can go through a lot of examples here tonight. But that is going to affect other lives. Okay? She was in another wreck not long ago. And her daughter, not knowing how bad it was. Esther, my mother was in a wreck. I don't know. We're going to... I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, come. Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And, you know, people are people, and people, that's what they're going to be. They're just going to act just like people. You didn't write that down. But we need to understand that if there's a thing in our life that produces something that causes people to be a negative or anything of that sort, and we need to fix that, because we're going to have children coming up after us. We're going to have young people. We're going to have Sunday school kids. We're going to have others that are going to follow us, and they are going to develop the same fruits that we produce, because they're the ones that we're connected to. They're the ones that God put in our lives. You're going to make me go deep with this, aren't you? If we have a problem with a lying spirit, chances are the people that we're trying to win to God are going to be liars too. Because they're going to sense, if you, it's all right with you, it's all right with me. Financial situations. Having to be encouraged all of the time instead of being one that encourages. So you're going to go out and produce whatever you are. And if you're one that has to be encouraged 24 hours a day, that's the kind of people that you're going to influence to live for God. People that have to be influenced 24 hours a day. If you're an encourager, you're going to win people that are going to encourage. It's a fact. It is a. I don't care how much I teach. I'm telling you right now. You say, well, what you're doing tonight is not going to work. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to work. It's going to encourage those that are producing great fruit. It is. You're going to say, when I'm done, you're going to say, my labor is not in vain. He has reminded us again. And those that are producing bad fruit, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing what I'm saying. It's what we are. But you know what? The Holy Ghost can invade this house on this Bible study night. And God can give us an undergirding of His Spirit. And the power of God can move us. And that's when change and rearrangement begins to take place and transpire in lives. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that desires to produce perfect fruit. Why don't you lift your hands and call on the name of Jesus right now and believe the Lord to move mightily in your life, in your heart. Not being the one needy all of the time, but the one that meets needs. Not needing an answer of prayer 24 hours a day, but being someone that can be an answer of prayer for someone else. Fruits of the Spirit. Joy. Amen. Peace. The state of quietness. I hesitated there because we could use a lot of that. Amen. Amen. Some people just love to talk. And in loving to talk, they say too much. And in saying too much, they wish they didn't. And wishing they didn't brings depression, brings guilt. And in bringing guilt, brings condemnation. And then they feel like nothing. They'll never be anything. Well, then go all the way back to the beginning and learn how to keep your mouth shut. Don't ask goofy questions. Hello? Praise God. Amen. And don't say goofy things. Hallelujah. Peace. Peace can be the state of quietness, rest, repose, harmony, order, security in the midst of turmoil, strife. I've told you about the little girl in kindergarten or first grade, elementary school, whatever it was. And the teacher asked the whole class to draw a picture depicting peace. And this little girl won because her picture had a small bird in the crevice of a cliff. And all around that cliff was a horrible, raging storm. But that little bird found a little place of solace and a quiet place and rest right in that crevice of that cliff. That's peace. That's peace. Being able to find peace all alone, if you have to, in the midst of chaos, trouble, and storm. Amen. Amen. It worries me when I pray for people to receive peace, when they're praying at the altar and they're going through finances, or they're going through depression, or they're going through hardship or family-related situations, and I've got my hand on them praying the prayer of faith, and they look like this. Makes me want to turn them upside down to get a smile. You've come to get peace. Have faith for it. You've come to get joy. Have faith for joy. You've come to get victory. Come down there, bless God, and have faith for victory. And many times I will not even touch you before you begin to dance in the Spirit and leap for joy. Amen. Because just your actions alone depict the fact that you really want what you're asking for. Peace. Amen. Freedom from war and strife and all of these things. Long suffering. It's even spelt long. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 letters in it. You have to have long suffering just to say it. Patience. Endurance to bear long with people, frailties, offenses, injustices. Amen. You don't deal with it. Or you can, when God could have done a much better job. He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay." But don't you get all upset if it doesn't happen this year. Amen. I've been land blasted before, man. I'm telling you, people have just let me know who I was and all of that. I had someone tell me just Sunday night after service, they came and told me, or Sunday morning, whenever it was, they came and told me after all of that, that I don't know if you're worthy of all that or not. I don't know if you feel like you're worthy of that. I said, there's always somebody to let me know I'm not. And so, but I've been, you know, they didn't call me on the phone. They'll write a letter or they'll email me or that, and just give me what for. And you've got to know me. I don't answer those things. I don't do anything with them at all. I give them to God. And I had a man hugging me and loving on me and appreciating me and all of that here in this church that would not have been here and felt the Holy Ghost that he felt Sunday night if I had blasted back at him. I just let it go. Just let it go. Because apparently he was going through something in his life and he needed somebody to vent it against. Amen. Praise God. I'd rather it be me than God, because after God, there's nowhere else to go. But long-suffering, patient, bearing long. Never provoking others. Never provoking others to anger. never murmuring and full of resentment. These are not the gifts of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit. Bearing your injuries. Oh, you're going to weep. You're going to cry. I've been there. You're going to feel sorry for yourself. I've been there. Amen. I read that sign in that office. It said, and you've read it. It says, after this, I'm going to go have a nervous breakdown and nobody better stop me because I deserve it. And so you're going to feel sorry for yourself. You're going to go all through all of these emotions, but you don't have to broadcast it. You don't have to go on Facebook. Just do that for a little while. Get up, pray yourself through, and have revival. Long-suffering. Have you ever been insulted? Sure. Sure you have. Don't quit the church. Amen. Go hang with people that didn't insult you. And when they do, go back to the first ones because they're done with it. Start again. Hey, we got 6 sessions. You can go to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. By the time you get back, they'll forget what they done. They'll be friends again. Hey, where you been? Oh, I've been in section 6. It's funny. It really is. But we make it so serious. You know, I mean, it's just heaven or hell, life issues and stuff. But long suffering, we got to be able to put up with one another. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're all in a turmoil and in a tizzy. How are you going to help Betsy next time she has a fender bender? There's a call coming tonight, I prophesy. That's why we're going to move on to gentleness. A disposition, Webster said, to be gentle, soft-spoken. Soft-spoken. How many of you have ever heard the voice of God? Now, let me define that. Many hear the voice of God in an emotion. Many hear the voice of God from the Bible. Many hear the voice of God and just something. You've tried the spirits and you found out exactly how God does it, and that's how God does it for you. How many of you have heard the voice of God? Did He scream at you? Was He mad? Was He red in the face? I mean, I can't get God to talk to me that easy. I got to beg and plead, and I got to get here by myself. I got to lay down on the floor. I got tears. I got to be everywhere. And then finally I hear a whisper. There He is. I want to get like Moses. Moses said he talked to God face to face. That's awesome, isn't it? He had done something to his face because he had to wear a veil. I don't want to have to wear a veil, but I sure would like to hear from God every now and then. And Moses did. But listen, we can sing that song right now, to be like Jesus, to be like, because He's not a screamer. He's not mad. He don't throw fits. I wish my church would just pray for me. Woo, where'd that come from? You know, that's, God just doesn't do that. So if you do that, that didn't come from God. Gentleness. We need some gentleness. The quality of being gentle. David felt that the gentleness of God made him great. Gentleness is such a beautiful word that it carries with it a very, very deep expression. Amen. I'd much rather somebody say that I'm a gentle person than I'm mean. And or that I don't want to be around them because you never know what they're going to be. That's not the fruits of the Spirit. Somebody say goodness. We're almost done. The state of being good. Webster, I could have done better than that. Anyway, rewards will be given to the good. And the Bible says in Matthew that rewards will be given to the good and the faithful. So if you've been faithful at being good, you get a reward. God's goodness, you teach your children that. So mom and dad, you be good, daddy's going to give you a reward. you be good, your Heavenly Father will too. Amen? God's goodness leads us to repentance. Hezekiah and Josiah provide beautiful examples of all this goodness. Seven important facets of the Christian life are to be carried out and performed with goodness: warfare, soldier, conscience, works, foundation, conversation, fight of faith. All of this could be handled within the framework of goodness. How about faith? The living, divinely implanted, acquired, and created principle of inward and wholehearted confidence, trust, assurance, reliance in God, and all that He says, unquestioning belief, complete trust, confidence, and reliance in the Lord. Amen? Meekness, the disposition to be gentle, kind, even balanced in temper and passions. How many of you have learned how to be mad without being a lunatic? How many of you learned how to be mad without getting locked up? Right? Patient and suffering injuries without feeling a spirit of revenge. Patient and mild. And we're talking about meekness. Not inclined to anger or resentment. Tamed. Submissive. Easily imposed on. Easily imposed on. Can you do this? I know it's last minute. I guess. I really don't want you to do it. You could have asked me. Yes, I could, but I didn't. Hello? Amen. Temperance. The last one. The Lord put that last because He knew that you'd be done. Temperance. Self-control. Could we use a little more of that? A moderation in the indulgence of the appetites and passions. Self-control. We've got to control our passions. Because if you don't, it's going to turn into lust. And that's going to ruin your family. The state of quality of being temperate. Self-restrained in conduct. Expression. Indulgence in our appetites. And like the scripture says, everything in moderation. Not too much. Not too much. Right? Amen. Balance is produced in our lives when we live by the Spirit's directive of temperance. Praise God. And then the Bible says, while we stand, against such there is no law. Praise God. I really do want to be like Jesus. But you know how long it takes to get there? A lifetime. You can't try God for 2 months and give up and say you did that. You didn't do anything. You didn't even find out. You didn't cover first page in 2 months. You come in here and you say, this is going to be my life. You come in here and you say, this is what I'm giving to God. It's me. It's all of me. Because it's about all of Him. I'm not in here to be served. I'm in here to be saved. Amen. And then once I'm saved, I want to be in here to serve. And in order to do that, I've got to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And here real soon we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But I want those fruits. I want people to see kindness in me. I want them to see that I'm temperate. I want them to see that I'm a stayer. And I'm not mean. I'm not nasty. I'm not lustful. I want people to see balance in me. Amen. I'd like for there to be at least one thing in me someone would like to have. And I have to work hard at that. All of us need that. Because all of us have a sphere where we affect people that we come in contact with. And that needs to be a positive effect. and it can happen if we bear the fruits. Does anybody have that desire? Why don't we bow our heads and ask the Lord tonight to give us the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to hear it from the Word of God again. Lord, the desire to walk like you, to produce what you produced, to be like you were. You never wrote a book, Lord. You never wrote one book, but a book was written that still sells more than any other book about your life. My God, my God. Lord, can I be like that? Can I be like that? Lord, you never had a church to preach in. But since you've left, and God, you put the responsibility of preaching in our hearts, churches have come up all over the world that preach about you. Ooh, Jesus. Could I be like that? Could I be small that the message could be big? Could I represent the kingdom of God with character? Could I have integrity, Lord? Could you trust me? Would you let me dedicate my life brand new again tonight so I can produce the fruits of the Spirit? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is that your longing tonight? Amen. Praise God. Thank you for enduring the time that we took to teach this evening. And you may be dismissed. If you could shake someone's hand, if you could hug someone's neck, say a kind word to someone. Praise God.